Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell here. My better half is in hair and makeup, but she'll be joining us momentarily. This time it's not me. Just want to let everybody know that on Friday, we actually will have George Brockler. He's confirmed he will be here Friday at 3 o'clock, and that should be a really fascinating discussion. We had a one-on-one today, and it was great. We obviously disagree on a lot of areas. One of the things that we're trying to start off with is the student protests, if you want to call it that, at universities across the country, and what universities are doing in response to that. My favorite was Northwestern. Northwestern decided to come to an agreement, and among other things the university agreed to do is to have two visiting faculty from Palestine for next several years, and also to have five students be fully enrolled at Northwestern with a free boat, free ride. And so, you know, if Hamas sends them over, you can bet they'll add to the diversity of the campus and the excitement for future riots in the upcoming. They also agreed to give space to the Muslim Men's Organization. I haven't heard whether they're going to agree to start ovens or something for the Jewish students. But oh, Julie's here. We don't see her picture up here.
That's right. I think Thomas is getting stuff done. Yeah, I mean, the biggest, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, some of the universities are not caving. Meanwhile, they keep putting out they want vegan food, hot food, zip ties, and that's so they can tie the door shut. Now, if you're the university, you know, and hammers and axes, no, they didn't ask for that, but some of the list of demands, it's like, why would they want what do they need zip ties for, right?
Yeah, well, just to tie up the Jewish students.
Exactly. Okay, Thomas is, we have some videos we're going to play. We had a little bit of a technical glitch, but they've got them, so we'll get to them. Just let us know, Thomas, as soon as you get them. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about with all of this is, on one hand, it's ridiculous, and yet on the other hand, it's not. And I think the one thing that has become clear is it's completely, and we've talked a little bit about this, but it's completely planned and orchestrated, right?
That
we'll show you some video. One of the women, the New York Police Department released this too. One of the women at Columbia, who was sort of explaining to the kids how to do stuff,
right,
is this a known decades-long Occupy Wall Street. Her name is Lisa Fithian. I mean, she does it forever. She's been doing it for years and years, and this is what she does, right?
Well, yeah, she what she does, but you have to understand, in addition to Soros funding it through Tides Foundation and others, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood is very much involved. They're not hiring this woman. They got other people there, and they're much more radical. And of course, you know, they're paying, I think it's $3,000 a month they offered in the Wall Street Journal for people who would help orchestrate these revolts or uprisings.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, to staff them, basically. And that's what they are. They're essentially paid staff members. And one of the things that we want to talk about is why the Democrats aren't really doing anything about it, right? And I think it's because to a certain extent, there are some of them who agree with it. But on the other hand, this is the globalist, international money guys, right, who want this to happen. They want to destroy America. George Soros does. George Soros, as you point out, doesn't particularly care about Joe Biden in this election. I mean,
well, he'd rather have Biden elected, but he has bigger goals in mind than one presidential election.
That's right. And so that's okay. Thank you, Thomas. We have the videos now. So on the Laura Ingraham show last night, they played some of the videotape, and you'll see this woman, this Lisa Fithian, who is very much directing things and telling the students what to do. And she's right in the middle of stuff, right? And she's saying at one point, she goes, no, I can't do it for you. You have to do it, right? You're getting paid $3,000, you know, or $1,000 a month. But Thomas, if we could play the Ingraham number one soundbite, please.
Lisa Fithian, 63 years old, and a professional protest consultant. Yeah, is that on LinkedIn? Who's been arrested more than 80 times. Badge of honor for her. Her causes range from Occupy Wall Street, SNORE, to climate change, BOR, and the current Free Palestine. Yes, they want more. Now, she's been training this activist generation for years, and last night she was caught instructing students what to do.
I can't help with that. You guys can help with that.
Joining me now, Ira Stoll, founder and editor of editors.com. Ira, moments before this interview, the NYPD actually showed videos of Fithian today and mentioned how the tactics of protesters have changed after training sessions with that person that Mother Jones once called Professor Occupy. So what benefit does someone like this woman get by training these protesters? Is she making money off this, or is it just power?
Well, some of the people involved are being paid money. I had a piece in the Wall Street Journal recently about how they're advertising for fellows to be paid $3,000 for 3 months of eight hours a week of work on campuses. And some of the people who've been involved quite prominently in these protests have been paid fellows with hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Soros Open Society Foundation and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So there's big money behind these protests. You know, whether they could make more money doing other things, probably. And so it's a combination of getting paid and, I don't know, living
Ira, this, let me tell you my two cents on this. She's kind of in between the Woodstock generation, right? And the kind of current protest generation. She was in that no man's land of, I need to find relevance. And she found it, like so many of them do, in this deeply anti-American cohort.
And I think that's a key thing there, the anti-American, because that's in the end what this is about. I think because you wonder, okay, the Biden administration could call up the campus and say, we're going to quit funding you. They, you know, you need to do something about this. Democrats, these are all in Democrat-run cities, right? The police. You're right. Some of them are not. But in all of the cases, though, they have options, right? They could close it down. When people start moving in their tents, like that's when you want, when you see the cars and the vans pulling up, unloading the tents and unloading the pallets and unloading stuff, unloading the signs. That's when you put a kibosh on it, not once they're all set up and you've got all these people involved. And they're not. And I think it's because the Democrats are sort of tied to these globalist George Soros people who in the end want to take over the world. And the only way you can take over the world, or not the only way, but a key way you need to take over the world, is to get rid of America, to bring America to its knees and to bring America under control, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. And they're doing a good job because that's what the Democrats want to do. They could, I think Vanderbilt actually expelled some people. You could say, look, you leave now, or anyone still here in 48 hours will be expelled from the university. Now then you'd have all the other people who are not part of the university would stay.
Right.
And some people whose grades are really bad would probably stay. But they could, it's they don't have any will, so they don't have any way.
Right. Well, and again, they do have a will, but the will is to destroy it. Right. I mean, this is part of a plan to destroy it. That's why they're doing nothing. That's why they're paying these people. And I remember years ago covering protests, whatever it was in Denver, it would be the same people you'd see over and over again. And they were very much provocateurs. There was sometimes they were having the high school kids were all walking out of class. Right. And they were chanting something about we love freedom and puppies or whatever. And then these provocateurs would start chanting F the police. And pretty soon the kids are chanting F the police. But the kids weren't starting it. right? And the media is complicit. Well, these are high school kids at the time.
They're still 18, not kids anymore.
Well, they were 15 and 16, but you're missing my point. My point is that these paid provocateurs were riling up the they weren't innocent, but at this point, the high school students, okay?
That's easily gulled.
And not only that, but then they would take it over. Even if the high school students weren't chanting that, that was going to be what you saw on TV. So the media is complicit in it, right?
Sure, sure.
The media who cover these things know that it's the same people over and over again. And I think that's what the real danger in this is, because it's not going to just stop. We had George Floyd, right? Okay. We were talking about, you know, well, why now is this happening? And you had a brilliant answer in terms of why now.
Go ahead, give my brilliant answer.
Oh, you don't remember. He doesn't remember. He has so many brilliant answers, he can't remember. What he said was, I mean, you know, you had the October 7th happen, right? Israel is attacked. Israel responds. And it's a crisis. And these people are geared up for crises, right? They don't come along all the time. No. And so when they do, you got to take advantage. So if it hadn't been this, if something else had happened, Sandra is saying that was at East High in Denver. Exactly, Sandra, that was at East High. They're geared up to take advantage of this. And Laura, this guy, this Ira Stoll, explains it a little bit more. Thomas, if we could please play the Ingraham number two soundbite.
Until they're in jail.
Well, that's all printed posters. These aren't like handmade posters they're getting, you know, they're doing off the cuff. I mean, how much of this is AstroTurf? How much of this is organic?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. It's certainly the same tactics we're seeing on campuses around the country, same slogans, same tents, like
same signage
appearing on the same day. Yeah, absolutely. Very well coordinated. And they have there's Google Drives putting out talking points weekly. They have a meeting, a Monday evening meeting to coordinate around the country. The ads for these fellows say you have to be available at this time every week to come meet and plan what the activities are.
I mean, that's astonishing when you think about it, right? And I mean, and thank goodness for Laura and the media organizations like us who point that out. These signs, they didn't just get those signs printed overnight, right? They didn't just get all the same exact tents like there was a run on. I mean, they're stored someplace, right? And then they fly them in and they get them there. You know, I was laughing. Maybe these are the same khaki masked FBI agents, right? When they're not pretending to be white Christian nationalists,
right.
Then they're pretending to be anti-Israel protesters.
No. These are the good people. The FBI is not going to go after them.
Right. No, but I mean, those are fake FBI. Those are fake white nationalist extremists. They're not going to be in among the
protesters because they agree with them.
Well, and the protesters, again, it's not organic, I think, very much at all. Now, you do get organic people who join this kind of thing, just like people join any kind of riot.
They're the dumb ones who aren't getting paid.
Right, exactly.
Laura Ingraham had another thing saying, why are these people so dumb and ugly? That wasn't Laura Ingraham, it was Megyn Kelly. Said, why are these people so dumb and ugly? Said, well, if they weren't so dumb and ugly, they wouldn't be there.
Right. Well, and they've been, I think the thing is they've been educated to hate America too, the non-paid, the civilian, I don't know what you would call it, the amateur protesters, yeah. Right? Not the professional paid protesters. Because you listen, none of them know. I mean, it's a joke, but it isn't a joke. None of them know why they're there. And what these this globalist agenda, this is Karen Catlin has said on our show before, the Marxist agenda, this is part of their plan, right? You stir up chaos, you make people want the government, you bring the United States to its knees. And if this costs Joe Biden the election, or if this makes the Democrats look bad in the meantime, they have a long view. They don't really care. And I have to say, things are kind of going the way they plan. We're talking about it. You can't not talk about it, right? But it's getting violent. And we were starting to see that last night. There was a Jewish student was attacked at UCLA. And Thomas, if we could please play the student attacked video.
Police!
I mean, and so then what happens then after that, and the final video we have is at UCLA last night, some other people, sort of pro-Israel people, tried to dismantle the thing. Interestingly, it was very much like the pro-police rally we had with Antifa, where the police did not come in for the longest time. The police were ordered not to do anything. You got to wonder, why is that going on? If we could please play the UCLA video, Thomas. These are people, you see them going in with sticks to try to tear down the barricades that they created around at UCLA there, that encampment. And just everyone's like, actually, this is what must hurt protesting. No one's actually doing anything. Everyone's taping it with their cell phones. Yeah. Well, it got worse on and off periodically. But yeah, there were no vicious beatings or anything. You know, but in their own way, having covered this kind of thing, you see, you've got hundreds of people standing around, right? Tensions are high. This woman, no, she's not a student. She's hair is more gray than mine, basically. And where do they get all those Palestinian scarves? Is there like some outlet store, the dollar store? Are they having a run on them or something? Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's a dangerous, volatile situation. And
well,
why are the police not there?
Once they start getting a little better, and I'm sure that, you know, the brown shirts and all that were fighting the communists in the streets of Berlin. And that reminds you of, except that, you know, they got to get a little more tougher groups on both sides. But that's what it'll be like. It's sort of amazing. And it's just, you know, end of America.
Well, no, this is from Kieran Candling. She says an example of who these people are. For folks, if you want to write it down, it's powerlineblog.com, and then in the archives, who are these people? So I'll have to search this up, Kieran. A keyword would be Charlotte Cates, K-A-T-E-S. So that's powerlineblog.com. And I'm assuming it kind of outlines who these people are. And again, the dangerous thing about this is not a spontaneous organic reaction. This is a plan that they have, and they are geared up just like SEAL teams and SWAT teams have a plan, right? They wait for something to happen and they implement the plan for each situation. And that's what this is, right? They have, I guess they have to work fast to print up. They just maybe have the signs and they just said Free Palestine. And you know what I mean?
They're pretty inventive. They can, you know, they can work on a fast schedule.
Right. And that's their point. And it's going to keep happening. And then it does distract from other things, it's, you know, typically like the economy and things like that. But again, I don't think it's helping the Democrats. And I think Joe Biden is kind of between a rock and a hard place. I think he's being pushed by forces within his party, right? Joe Biden, I just use that loosely. I don't think Joe Biden is pushing or doing anything right now.
He's sleeping.
But their ultimate goal is to take down the United States, which again, to me, is why it's so important that Donald Trump win, because Donald Trump will actually do something about it. Now, the deep state and the bureaucracies are going to fight him every step of the way, but he at least, I think, would do something, as opposed to Joe Biden, who just issues mealy-mouthed proclamations, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, where do you think it goes from here, Chuck?
Well, I think we're all waiting for Chicago 68, except it'll be Chicago 2024.
The DNC convention.
Oh man, that is going to be a fun place to go. That's where the action is. That's going to be wild, because the mayor of Chicago is not Daley,
right?
And he's a progressive, so he won't be want to be seen as beating and kicking and arresting
the protesters
and so forth. And half the people in the Democratic Hall will be former student protesters themselves 40 years ago, So it's going to be great. It is going to be
Well,
fantastic.
I worry about the Republican National Convention, which we will be going to as well, because, that's in Milwaukee, right? I mean, even when they had it in Denver, they had areas that they staged for the protesters, right? So there are always protesters at these things. I have a feeling that the RNC is probably gearing up for potential problems also. And you got to wonder how helpful a blue city like Milwaukee is going to be.
Well, we'll be there, so we'll find out. And it should be fun stuff. It should be fun stuff.
Well, from Leo, time to book a hotel room with a view in Chicago.
Yeah,
I got to
yeah.
say, I don't know that I would call it fun. I think this is very
Oh, come
worrisome
on,
time.
Julie. Where's
Yeah.
your younger self?
No.
Where's your younger
No,
self?
I got punched in the last protest. I don't need that.
Well, now you're bruised and veteran. You know what it's like to be in a street battle.
Mayor from Charlene, Mayor Daley will be choking on maggots while DNC convention going on makes 68 look like a cakewalk. Yeah. Well, and the end, I mean, Obama, this is his fundamentally transform America, right? He wasn't trying to say make it a better place for everybody and have lower gas prices. He was trying to say turn it into a third world hellhole,
Yeah,
right? I mean,
Islamic hellhole.
that's well, yeah, Cook County go red. Well, in Chicago, they won't let them. Well, because they tally the votes there. It's like not who votes, it's who counts the votes. Well, and that kind of leads into, and I just want to say, feel free, everybody, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Or if you're on Zoom, feel free to read your comments in chat. Or if you want
Raise
to
your
raise your
hand
hand.
and interrupt.
And then just say, Sandra had a point. I thought Stephen Varela was going to be on. No. Stephen Varela would not come on our show. I don't think, because we've been exposing him for the chameleon fraud that he is. He's running in CD3 as a Republican. In the last 11 years, he's changed his party affiliation like 18 times.
They had an article in Rhino
Rhino
Watch.
Watch had an article on it. Alex Mugatu was going to come on. He's coming on Monday to talk about it. He's got a whole expose thing going. And of course, if you live in CD3, we all think that Ron Hanks is great there.
But they've taken what they wanted to do, which is, taken all the emphasis off of Jeff Herd
Right.
and put it on the fight between a fake MAGA person and a real one like Ron Hanks, rather than attacking Jeff Herd. So it's, I assume the money from this, Ferverell and all that, comes from Herd and his
Maybe, yeah,
supporters.
you never know. You never know.
Well, they or Democrats, I mean, one of the two.
Right. Oh, this from Thomas. Hey, Chuck, Qatar is a great place for the Islamic rich. It'll be our hellhole, not theirs. Well, and that's what it's going to be, though, actually, Thomas. I think, when you have a third world hellhole, the globalist elites who orchestrated the whole thing, they don't live in the hellhole. The rest of us live in the hellhole. They live at, like in Qatar in these gorgeous mansions and yachts and things like that, right? None of this is going to bother Jeff Bezos or any of the extremely rich people in Qatar, right? It'll just be a hellhole for the rest of us, where the streets won't be safe, the grocery prices will be too high, we'll be eating bugs, which is they want anyway. We won't be able to afford gas, which is what they want, because they want us to all live in like little cubicles
Yeah.
and where we I don't know what we do, because there's not going to be any jobs anymore. But anyway.
Sure, the job. So they always need their boats cleaned and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, AI is going to do that.
Well, AI can't clean them.
One of the other things I wanted to talk about, there's so many. Ken Buck, we'll get to this in a second. Ken Buck, I'm saying he was worse than worthless when he was in Congress, and his exit interview with the New York Times.
Who else to give your exit interview but New
Right.
York
Yeah.
Times?
I mean, it's like it shows why we just are glad to get rid of him. But wanted to talk about Americans for Prosperity. I am sometimes surprised by the number of people and people who are active in the Colorado Republican Party.
I'd like to know, we have no way of saying, but does anybody out there think that Americans for Prosperity is a decent group?
Yeah. If
If
you just
you do, you can
you don't
hide
need to
your,
raise your hand, because it's too shameful.
but
Not
you can
kidding.
put it up on the on the on the
Yeah, I mean, if
and
you
everyone won't even see who you are.
well, we will see who they are.
Oh well.
We can see
Good
who you
luck
are.
to you. And we'll expose you.
But it does astonish me in conversations I have with just average, regular, well, not even average, people who are fairly active in the Republican Party.
Very active in the
They
party.
say, don't doesn't Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch brothers' brother, they're like, but aren't they good? Didn't they fund the Tea Party? Well, they did, but here's what you're going to know. I mean, so I did some research in what's his name? Charles Koch, who is the one brother who's left, right? Had a book out. And one of the things he wrote in his book is that he regretted funding the Tea Party. Okay. Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah, they didn't. Well, let's kind of clarify unpack that.
Okay.
The Tea Party came and then they saw this huge opportunity to gain influence. And so they then threw their money pretending that they were the grassroots and they were backing the grassroots. They were only backing one thing, enrich the Kochs.
Right.
That's what they've been the whole life. I don't know if Charles or the other one was the one, the libertarian candidate.
You okay?
But he was a joke libertarian candidate, except he didn't want to have government regulation exposing his business, except he wanted regulations that helped his business. But we ran into them. We were on KHOW, and they were trying to have all these massive apartments buildings.
We being the newspaper.
No, we being the
When we were at KOA, or at KNUS, you mean?
Yes, yes. And remember the guy who came on is now part of
Jesse Mallory. Walker.
No,
is that
but it was a guy. It was a guy. I should have looked it up, but he was supporting the developers, and we went after him. They called the station, and
this was at KNUS.
The station, as usual, cowardice.
Made us go to lunch with them.
Made them go to lunch.
I don't think we paid though. Maybe we. Hopefully, we split the check.
I don't know.
We probably to build it to KNUS.
But it was with Jesse Mallory, and what was her name?
Tamara Farah. Although she since has not, I mean, and I don't want to, she has, just in fairness, long since kind of split with them. And she, I think got kind of maybe duped as too strong.
Oh,
but,
too strong. She had no idea what Americans for Prosperity
was
actually
about.
Supported. Jesse Mallory knew exactly what Americans for
Prosperity. Well, and so here we could go. So just to kind of back up, so to give you a little bit of a background, in a New Yorker piece a couple of years ago, they're saying, Charles Koch has come out in favor of open borders, right? That he was in 2019, a Washington Post column was talking about he was pushing for protection of the Dreamers. Okay. In 2017, he and a bunch of other wealthy people were pushing and played a prominent role in shaping the 2017 tax cut, relaxing regulations on corporations, arranging for business-friendly judges, and importantly, overhauling the criminal justice system. Okay. Now, fast forward to just a year ago at an event in California. The Americans for Prosperity announced that it was going to try to break Trump and Trump supporting candidates. And they were going to be throwing roughly 20 million, was it 20 million? No, way more than that, like $70 million to try to break Trump, right? Charles Koch told the Wall Street Journal, quote, he wanted to focus on building bridges across partisan divides to find answers to sprawling social problems. Okay, that means open borders. That's what that means, right?
No. So you have to understand.
And he wants to have no criminal.
You have to understand. They don't want, quote unquote, open borders. What they want is regulated borders in which everyone is allowed in. They don't necessarily want the criminals to come in, but they want millions in cheap labor. So, you know, you'll get people. Well, George Brockler, when he comes on.
Yeah, and here and asked George Brockler, George Red Flag Brockler is going to be on
Friday at 3 o'clock. You know, he's against open borders, but when you really get down to it, it's like the Koch brothers. They just want to allow everybody in on some kind of regulated process. Well, what's the difference between that and open borders? I mean, maybe a few terrorists don't get in, but other than that, it's a wide open borders. What visas? Might as well not go to one of the crummy universities that the students are taking over because you're not going to get a job.
Right. Well,
all the people from India will get the job.
And Biden is letting in, what would I say, 110,000 HB1 visas, those a million one. Oh, that's even worse. But back to Americans for Prosperity. So they're part of this big globalist push, right? And they the biggest thing is this, okay, they want regulated open borders. They want anyone to come in who they want.
Not anyone, but virtually. Tons of cheap labor.
Right. And and again, that's why they were spending up to $70 million to defeat Trump.
And they're very much against tariffs.
Right.
Because tariffs mean that they're
bad for their business.
From China don't get in. And they hate that.
So
and they do it saying it violates free markets.
Free market, right.
But only a fool would trade with one side has protectionist policies and you're free trade. What's going to happen is what happened to the United States. It's going to lose all of its manufacturing base. It's going to lose all everything.
Middle class.
Yeah, because they'll dump work because they're going to regulate what you do while you just merrily go on. And talking to George Day, in all fairness, you know, he says he hates tariffs and thinks you ought to have free markets, which will destroy America.
Right. And we'll get more into that with George, too. But remember then, too, part of their trying to destroy Trump was supporting Nikki Haley, right? And then when it became clear that didn't work, they are openly saying that their strategy is to support members of Congress who will fight Trump. Yes. They're concerned that Trump is going to win. So what they want to do is stack the deck against him in Congress.
Yeah.
And so that leads me into what the other thing I wanted to talk about. And Dr. Donna, you read my mind, just came in. You may have mentioned this. Gabe supports open borders. There are three congressional candidates in Colorado, or the choice is clear between grassroots and the uniparty establishment. One of them is CD8. Gabe Evans, right, who's a state legislator, comes across very well, great speaker. Yes. I think probably is fair to say clearly leads. Well, he is supported and endorsed by Americans for Prosperity. Now, he tries to say, well, I can't help who endorses me.
It's like, oh, no.
You think they haven't done their homework on you?
They just pour money to you?
Right.
You don't have to go to them and say, hey, give me millions.
They just Googled you, Gabe Evans for Congress, and said, let's donate to this guy. I mean, give me a break. Janik Joshi is the grassroots. He's not getting any money from him. And be careful, Gabe Evans, and you're going to see the same things come out. All of his mailers that are coming out now where he's opposed to open borders, opposed. It's, well, not if you're working, and that's what it is, guys, not if you're working for Americans for Prosperity. They're not even hiding it. They openly say they are working to support congressional people who will fight Trump on issues like immigration, right?
Right.
Another one they're supporting is Jeff Hurd in CD3. He's got he's got the most money of any of the Republican candidates, not even close to Adam Frisch on the Democrat side, but he too is endorsed by Americans for Prosperity. They endorse Nikki Haley, right? They endorse Mitt Romney.
There's one more congressional candidate.
Yes, and that would be Jeff Crank in CD5, yes, who is running against grassroots Dave Williams, right? So Jeff Crank also, he's not only endorsed by Americans for Prosperity, he worked as a community director guy in Colorado Springs for Americans Prosperity. We played on one of our earlier shows an interview with him where he's talking to Americans for Prosperity and praising them for their courage in supporting Nikki Haley.
Yes,
right. Again, don't be fooled. Americans for Prosperity, and if you have questions, we'll try to answer them, but they are not any... They try to pretend that they're this establishment, longtime conservatives with conservative principles.
No, they do not claim that.
Well, not anymore, but that is their image.
What they tried to say is, you know, we're the grassroots. We're the biggest, we're the largest grassroots volunteer organization. Only a fool would work for them for free, so they all get paid $25 an hour. But they said, you know, we're against the establishment. We're for a brand new America.
Yeah.
With your slaves and we're masters.
Yeah, we're everyone. Yeah. Where Americans don't have any jobs, but there are no tariffs. So I don't know who they think they're going to sell stuff to. And again, it seems
they don't
to
care.
Me,
it's a world market.
Know, and anybody who says in this day and age, right after the 2020 election, that I want to build bridges across partisan divides, the partisan divides are the Democrats are trying to destroy this country and they are evil. That'd be like saying to Satan, we need to talk, Satan. We need to
reach a consensus.
We need to build some bridges here, right? And no, you don't build bridges with those people. You tear them down and you leave them vanquished on the other side.
Who's the guy who said we wanted to reach across the divide?
Charles Koch.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Koch in 2020 in a Wall Street Journal interview. And again, they're pushing for that criminal justice reform. Anyone who says that, that's just another word for free all the criminals. That's another word for no bail.
They can work cheap.
Yeah, it undercuts the entire foundation of society when everything is so dangerous. So criminal justice reform simply means that. It's like it's a no bail, essentially no accountability, right? Unless, of course, you're Donald Trump, and then they will make up crimes to get you. So I think it is important to, and again, it surprises me how many, what I would consider to be pretty well-informed Republicans say, well, what's the matter with Americans for Prosperity? And they've just been living off of this fake image that that has just been smoke and mirrors from the beginning,
but
really.
Where would you go normally to understand that Americans for Prosperity are a joke?
Yeah, nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to do it on Fox News, if that's what you watch. Breitbart probably would, but there's very, you know, you can hear it here, or that's about it.
Well, the conservative treehouse, and here's what the conservative treehouse, what they had to say, and this is exactly what Americans for Prosperity is. Koch and the Americans for Prosperity are part of the network of multinational / Wall Street entities who previously held all the power in the Republican apparatus.
Yes.
And that is why they're all freaking out, because they did hold all the power. It was in the conservative treehouse.
Okay.
Sundance. Yeah. So here's from some of the comments from Dr. Don, from Leo, Party Friday with George. Oh, that'll be fun. I'll pick up a keg that morning. From Dr. Donna, Joshi is a far better candidate in CD8. I agree. From Barney, probably have to smoke some weed, Leo. Listening to George is painful. And then Dr. Donna, oh, and the state party sent their candidate questionnaire out, but methinks it goes a bit too far with their questions, especially since I am running for a state seat. Pretty sure I have taken the time to answer, it probably won't matter if I take the time to fill it out or not. We'll get into that in a second, Donna. And then Leo, exactly. Americans for Koch Prosperity. So that's what the deal is. And so, again, sort of a tell if you are like, you know, I don't know. Gabe Evans says he's, you know, for Oprah.
Well, you were there for CD8, and he gave a speech that is as good as I've seen about fighting for the Second Amendment, even though he didn't do the Wins Ledger, fighting for this. And he's going to, you know, he is your MAGA candidate. He's none of those things. He's a Decepticon. In fact, all three of those people are traitor Decepticons.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And from Dr. Donna, yeah, the Colorado Republican Party leadership sent out a questionnaire to people who are to candidates. And I didn't look at it. It was pretty detailed, though. You know, I think as soon as we get the results, I'm assuming they'll release the results. We'll talk about it, because I think that'll be very telling. I can tell you this. When I was a Democrat formerly, and I worked on a congressional campaign in CD7, when Bob Beaupre was running against Dave Thomas, the candidates got slews, particularly in Congress. Dr. Don, I don't think probably so much from the state for state seats, but they got slews of questionnaires all the time, all of them from various interest groups, right? And foolishly, silly me, how naive I was, I thought, well, I'll just go ask the candidate what his position is. And they're like, no, here's the official Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee answer to all of those, just cut and paste, right? So we'll have to see how much this sorts things out, right? But a lot of times, though, the answers could be used to twist the candidate's arms down the road. So we'll see what happens with those questionnaires. And we'll see what the Republican Party does, but we'll keep you posted on that. Speaking of, did you anything more you wanted to share with folks about AFP?
Well, not about AFP, but on coming up, there's a guy down in Colorado Springs.
Alex Mugatu.
Mugatu, who's really sent out some stuff during the race for at CD3.
Before the assembly.
Before the assembly and stuff. And really lays out what the Democrats are doing. And they've done a great job. And they did this up in Weld County, where they take people like Barbara
Kirkmeyer
and other really Democrats. And they pour money behind them under a Unite kind of
Unite Colorado.
It's Unite Colorado. Well, they had another one down Unite Rural Colorado, and that's where Varela and others joined in. So it's the same thing. They go, you know, we have these fake Republicans, we put them under Unite Colorado, and quite honestly, he really lays out who the people are behind Unite Rural Colorado, which is no different than with Unite Colorado. And how the Republican Party is being taken over, at least in Pueblo County, by a lot of, you know, very iffy Republicans.
Right. And so he'll be on the show on Monday. And again, George will be on the show Friday. You guys, it's like, poor George, because he reads the comments from From Dr. Donna, I phoned Barney. What strain of that protects the ears from the likes of Mr. Red Flag? And then from James, George is a smooth con man, just like Ted Trimpa. George is good. George is good. So we'll have him on. And if you want, we'll tell him. We can ask questions there as well. But switching from that then to Ken Buck. So the New York Times did, it was bizarre to me. It was an exit interviews of Ken Buck, Doug Lamborn was in there too, and all of the people who are leaving Congress, right? Mm-hmm. And asked them things like, is Congress corrupt? Now, they didn't say, what role did you play in the corruption? And I mean, Ken Buck, you know, was worthless to Colorado Republicans while he was in Congress for the most part. He sunk into the swamp, even though he wrote a great book about it. And he just kind of reiterated some of those points, right?
This is back under the old chairs, and probably true in the new chairs, but if you want to be a committee, you had to raise $250,000. You had to raise money for all these things. And he said it was, you know, you had to buy your way in for it. Okay, you came with that 8 years ago.
Yeah,
but
that's why you're quitting now 8 years later.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see what his net worth was and is.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that, oh yeah, New York Times, great. How can I help?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. So you had all these kind of whiny Congress people complaining about Congress, and I'm like, well, you were there, right? I mean, you may not like a Lauren Boebert, you may not like Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene, but they're at least trying to fix things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They don't just like go along, then screw over the voters when they think nobody's looking, and then do these sanctimonious exit interviews talking about how they have to leave because they're
so divisive.
They're just
we can't work principles. Out common solutions with the other side.
Right? I mean, it was just so sanctimonious, and it reminds me. Years ago, right kind of during the George Floyd time, the city of Denver held a news conference to complain about how police were racist, right? When they were dealing with young Black people, Black men. So who was there but Black mayor, Black police chief, Black city attorney, and Black safety manager?
In a city that has an 8% Black population.
Like, well, if you don't like the way that the police are interacting with young Black men, all of you seem to be in a perfect position to
do something about it.
Yeah, to do something about it. So same thing. You had all of these ancient looking congressional people, right? Who've been like,
well, they're not all ancient. They had one guy's 36.
Okay.
Clinton. I mean,
there were some who were ancient. I mean, and Doug Lamborn, he's been there forever. What's he ever done? Right. I mean, if you were to say he's Doug Lamborn, he's one of those guys you'd be like, did he die or is he still alive? And they're all like, oh, it's just so divisive here. And it's all about money and da, da, da. I, of course,
and
have been
I can't
here.
Live on 174,000.
Like, he's kind of whining, saying, you know, I can't live on $174,000 a year. I know that seems kind of awkward. I really can't complain about it to my constituents who make no
$32,000. But like, I got two households, four girlfriends.
Yeah.
I've got to pay a couple, you know, I got ex-wives. You know how my hot chats be split up. And the new girlfriend. I mean, she needs some loving and some gifts and some jewelry.
It's just this, again, this complete tone deafness, but they're talking to the New York Times, right? And the New York Times, again, fuels the corruption. It supports the corruption. It contributes and collaborates.
They are the corruption.
They are the corruption. They're a big piece of it. And so they're talking about all these congressional people who have to leave because they just can't stand it, who did nothing while they were there to fix Congress. They were solely focused and enriching themselves and screwing the American people. So I just thought that was hilarious. And Ken Buck, he's been on CNN. He'll go on more places too, you know, just attacking people. What do we have from Leo? George Brockman and Ken Buck, we might as well talk about Charles Manson and Ted Bundy for Party Friday. And from James, was it Will Rogers who said the only true criminal conspiracy in the U.S. is the Congress? Yeah. Well, you look at some of the stuff that's going on. So it just struck me as so, I mean, because you can listen to it. You can listen to it without going behind the paywall. But it was just so sanctimonious. And again, I saw Colorado Politics must have paid to listen to it because they wrote a story. And it was just Ken Buck saying the same thing he wrote in his book.
8 years ago.
Well, more than 8 years ago, 100 million years. I mean.
No, it was 8 years ago.
No, because it was 15 years ago because we had just gotten married. So it was like time flies and you're having fun. But again, it's like, and then it was somewhat believable that Ken Buck might have been fighting
draining
the swamp, but not
draining the swamp, and he ends up being part of the swamp.
Right.
I mean, not just part of it, but a major mud ball in the swamp.
Right, exactly. So, you know, the only thing is I was thinking, okay, goodbye and good riddance, but I don't think he's going anywhere. He's just going to... he's just going
to... Well, he'll go on Channel 9, you know, he and Kyle Clark.
Well, he's not Channel 9. No, he's going to national. He's going to go national.
Well, he's got to make money locally, too.
He'll probably be a paid contributor someplace. And then turning on to... another thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene says... Oh, and then from Dr. Donny, he made a handsome profit from the book, I bet. Marjorie Taylor Greene has announced, although she keeps announcing this and then she doesn't actually do it. She's going to essentially try to oust Mike Johnson next week. She acknowledges that she does not have the votes because the Democrats are going to help him, right? Some of the Republicans are very much up in arms saying that this could backfire and end up putting Hakeem Jeffries in charge if enough Republicans turn tail. Donald Trump seems to be backing Mike Johnson. I get the impression from Trump and the RNC also, from their point of view. And I got to wonder, guys, if this is all a little bit of kabuki theater, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene gets to be a firebrand. She gets to challenge Mike Johnson. Donald Trump, I mean, this is not, I would argue, a good time to be potentially handing Congress over to the Democrats. So people like Donald Trump say, no, we support Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson sort of lives to be voted to be ousted another day. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about it?
Well, I think politically, strategically, it's the wrong move. And people like her and Thomas Massie are always making principled, dumb decisions. But at least she's principled. I mean, at least she's principled. At least she's saying, look what Mike Johnson has done to you.
Right. Well, she made the point. She's like, now there is a difference. She's like, what's the difference between having him and Hakeem Jeffries? I'm like, well, one, the Democrats would immediately push to pass a law. And, you know, there's some Republicans, Ken Buck wannabes, who would vote for it that would prevent Trump from becoming president or from being president. Yeah, I think it's not the right time for her to be pushing that. There's enough stuff going on. There's plenty of we can oust him later. Right. It's
maybe you won't be able to, but he is. He is awful. I mean, he went from I was really encouraged when he got on, then I was skeptical, and now I hate him. I mean, I really hate the guy.
Well, he's everything that's wrong.
Yes.
Right? He says all the right things. You believe him, you get hopeful. And then he turns around and not only doesn't do the things he said he was going to do, but he goes even further. And he's like, let's give Ukraine even more money. And actually, we're not even going to pretend to do the whole open border thing.
We'll give $3.3 million to NGO to bring more illegal immigrants into the country. He passed the whole thing. He did nothing.
Right.
I'm in for governance. Governance. To destroy the American people. That's what governance is.
Right. And this from Sandra, I agree with you, Chuck. Shameful. And Dr. Donna, he did not hold to his campaign promises at all. And here's I kind of have the impression that he might have meant him when he said it.
Yes,
and I don't know, like you said, maybe he's just weak and the pressure is too much. Somebody was saying maybe goats are involved somehow. Somebody was joking.
Well, unless the goat was doing him, I think people go, that's fine. You know,
he is a politician. Yeah. Hey, and then finally today, this cracked me up. So the Republican Party, obviously, we talk a lot about the rifts in the party, the grassroots establishment. Well, the Democrats have similar problems. There's a big story today, a bunch of the very progressive, I mean, like openly, literally communist House members in the Colorado legislature, the Democrat side, are all mad because they are being bullied. They're being bullied by that mean Republican Brandi Bradley. Now, there's only like 11.
Brandi Bradley.
That's right.
You know, just the name itself causes terror. Brandi Bradley. Brandi Bradley.
And they are sick.
Not going to take it anymore.
No, they didn't say they wouldn't take it anymore. They just wanted someone to stop it for them.
Oh, okay.
And they had a meeting with their leadership who says, and Leslie Herod is like, we are being harmed. It's like, what? No, we, the Colorado people, are being harmed by the idiotic, insane, expensive, parent rights destroying Democrats. The Democrats are not.
Julie, they're being hurt. Where's your Christian values?
No, you don't have Christian values. I can't say that. These people are eighth. I don't even know what they are. But it was just hilarious reading this. And the poor leader, Julie McCluskey, the Democrat leader, you could tell she probably wanted to smack them. She's like, they were trying to debate stuff here. And they're like, we are being harmed.
Harmed.
And they.
How are they being harmed?
I don't. Well, and then this is, though, I have to say, Marianne Goodlin.
Oh, beautiful.
So she mentioned that they were saying that that Julie McCluskey was saying, well, you know, they're talking about Brandi Bradley is mean to them on Twitter. So it's like, ooh, well, block it. Don't look at her.
No, Brandi.
Don't read the tweets, right? It's like sticks and stones. But at any rate, talk about hypocrisy in the Colorado Politics website. They went on, and Julie McCluskey said, well, we can't censure people or punish people for what they do outside of what happens here at the legislature. So Marianne Goodlin mentioned that several years ago, they censured Steve Lubsack, who was a Democrat, for apparently, allegedly, sexually harassing Faith Winters.
Who else?
Right?
By alcoholic.
No, they did not mention. They did not mention that Faith Winters from Westminster, former Westminster City Council person, is the might be the city of North Glen, or is it Thornton? Thornton, I guess, one of those, was thinking of filing an ethics complaint. She showed up at one of their town halls so drunk that they had to drag her off the stage. She was insulting the members of the audience. The cops had to get her an Uber because they wouldn't let her drive home. So they neglect to mention that. They don't say.
And remember back when Webb said, she said at a bar, he touched her elbow or something.
Something like
that. It was just amazingly little. And she said, no, I was assaulted. My elbow. Do you know what they did to my elbow? I could feel them squeeze my elbow. I mean,
so she's in rehab now. She's resigned her committee.
Do you have the latest on that?
Yeah, she's in rehab.
No. You don't know how seriously she takes this.
Oh.
You just denigrated that rehab thing. Oh. She's at home rehabbing with assistance of medically professionals. So she's not actually going to a rehab clinic. She's at home. And there they'll.
That's what I would do. See, if I were her, I would do rehab.
And she's drinking straight time, right? She is.
No one seriously does rehab at home.
Well, Julie, are you questioning Faith Winters' bona fides?
Just a thought out there. I would do rehab at a spa someplace, like in the Caribbean, maybe Cabo. Something like that, you know. That's right. If I ever go to rehab, guys, that's where I'm going. Yeah. But anyway, just so you know,
well, she's at home
rehab,
fully rehab. She's dedicated to it.
Exactly. Well, and then in the meantime, it's from Karen Catalan. She was a useful idiot that was used to get rid of Lebsack, who was voting more 2A than Brockler ever would. It's like Faith Winters, exactly. But either way, you have to feel sorry those poor Democrats, a House Democrats, who are shoving.
Have you seen pictures of Faith? She's not aging well.
Maybe it's a bad hair day.
Bad face day.
Well, but anyway, the Democrats who are destroying our state, they are being bullied by Brandi Bradley, her tweets. So there you go. And they're complaining.
And they're being hurt.
And they're being harmed. They're being harmed.
You got to get Brandi on now. She's just a terror.
And they want their leadership to do something about it. Not clear what.
Yeah.
Hey, so that'll wrap it up for us. Thank you to everybody in your comments. George Brockler on Friday. Alex Magatu on Monday. Friday should be fun.
It should.
Should be fun. Party.
Don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it.
All right. We'll see you then.